from that wonderful introduction from Lynn. I really appreciate it. No, I don't know why we still do that anyway. I mean, I'm tickled to death to be your pastor, and you make me feel welcome every day of the year. It's not just on Sunday mornings. But if you will take your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 2 is where we'll begin with our lesson or our message this morning. Just thankful to be in the house of God, thankful for the Spirit of God that we feel. Hey, I'm thankful that my cries have awoken the Master. You know, there's so many times in my life that I have had to cry out unto God and trust in God. And sometimes even when God didn't make sense, I had to trust in Him. And man, He's always come through for me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And He's promised me that He wouldn't hear in His Word. But if you're here with us this morning and you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you to Fellowship Baptist Church. If this is your first time here, just make yourself at home. If you should need anything, as you exit one of the doors in the sanctuary, you'll bump into some men in the hallways that have taken a pledge to serve this church in any matter that they can possibly serve it, and they'll help you in any way that they possibly can. And if you really need something, they'll find one of the ladies here to help you with it. And that's just as far as I'll go with that. But we welcome you here this morning. If you're here and this is your second or third time being with us, you are now family. You're no longer a visitor. So make yourself at home, relax. But while you're relaxing, listen for the small, still voice of God, because you're here by the divine will of God. I believe that you're here for a reason and a person, not reason and a purpose, not for coincidence or just by happenstance. I don't believe that anything happens in a believer's life by happenstance. So listen for that small, still voice of God, and may God speak to us this morning. And as we get into the message, may He use His Word to speak to our hearts, to encourage us as Christians. And if there's one here today that's lost, my prayer today is that you will hear that small, still voice, that you will receive that small measure of faith and a little bit of courage to step out and come to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. It'll be the best decision that you ever make in your entire life. I promise you that. On the authority of God's Word. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. God, I thank You for this opportunity that we have to be together as a church family, God. And God, what a wonderful place that You've given us to worship. What a wonderful family You've given us here. And God, may we use all of our talents, all of our strength, everything that's in us, God, to glorify You and to point others to the cross. God, I want to thank You for this opportunity we have to be in Your presence. Thank You for meeting here with us. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into Your Word, that You'll speak to our hearts. God, I do pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know You as their personal Savior. God, we want to thank You that one day You looked at us as sinners, and that before we were ever deserving, God, and before we ever had any reason, God, to look at You, that You looked at us, and You gave Your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And God, I just want to thank You and praise You for that. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading with verse number 15. Sometimes it seems like God gives me a thought and gives me a verse, and then I have to sort of search and figure out how to put it all together. And been praying about this and seeking God on this between last night and this morning, trying to figure out exactly what God wants. And I went over to Lance's house last night and had some taco soup, and he gave me some habanero chili powder or something or other to put in my soup. So this morning, If I seem like I got a little extra fire in my gut, I probably really do. And then again, if I take off running, you know I got a little extra fire in my gut. It'll be all right. Oh, Lord help us. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 15. And the Lord God took a man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Notice what God is telling Adam here as he's in the garden. He says, of every tree you can have everything that you want that is in this garden. Verse number 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, ain't that the kind of the way that God's done us? God said, here, I'm going to set you at liberty, and I'm going to give you freedom in your life, and I'm going to set you free from sin. You can do everything that you want to do, but just know that there's some things out there that's going to affect your relationship with me. There's some things out there that you can't do because it's going to affect your relationship but with Jesus Christ. He says, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I'm going to stop reading right here for just a moment, and as we look at this scripture, I can remember being a small child in church, and y'all know that I was saved at the age of 7, and I've been in my dad's church since the day that I was born, and As I remember hearing this story, and I remember hearing Dad preach about Adam and Eve in the garden, and how that there was a serpent that came along and talked Eve into taking some of the fruit, and also and it took Adam, and he took some of the fruit of the tree that they were not supposed to eat. Now, they could have eaten of any other tree, but they chose to be deceived by the serpent and eat of the tree that they were not supposed to eat of. And I can remember my dad preaching this message, and I can remember him, the description that he gave of God saying, if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day you shall surely die. And I can remember even being very young in Christ and being very young in church and looking and saying, well, Daddy, you said that God said that the day that they ate of that tree that they was going to surely die. But then you said that God come looking for them in the garden and that how they had took and they killed an animal to cover themselves. So they didn't die, Daddy. How in the world do you explain that? Because God said that they were going to die, but they didn't die. Do you know that there is a worse death than a physical death? That Adam and Eve, they had a perfect relationship with God. They had a wonderful spiritual life. And the day that they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that in that day they had a spiritual death. They had a relationship with God that died that day. And that was way worse than if they had just woke up dead. And as we look at this scripture this morning, we see that Adam and Eve, they made a choice that led them to a place of a spiritual death. That no, they didn't just fall over dead at the moment that they ate of the tree, but they had a spiritual death, and that death was so much more serious than the death that they would have experienced, a physical death. Now, I want you to look with me. Shannon's got it for us in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23. We're going to read the first part of this verse right now. For the wages of sin is death. I want us to look at this morning at the consequences of sin in our life. Now, I know that we don't like to think about the consequences of sin. We don't really even like to think about sin. We don't like to think about the things that God has told us. If you do these things, it is going to affect your relationship with me. And I don't have to name the sins. I don't have to go through the top 10 of the Baptist faith sins this morning. You know what sin is. Anytime that God asks us not to do something, and can I go ahead and say that it does not have to be written in black and white for it to be a sin, that God can speak to your heart and direct your life in a certain way, and something that God has showed you that you shouldn't do, it doesn't matter if it's written in here or not. If God has told you not to do it and you do it, then it is sin. But let's also go to the other side of that and know that if God tells us to do something and we turn away from that and we don't do that, that that is also sin. And as we look at our lives this morning, the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Now, when we look at that word wage, that is something that we all kind of really like. We like wages. We like to be paid. We like to go to work and how many of you would go to work for free tomorrow? Yeah, neither would I. I'd go sit in a tree stand tomorrow if I could get paid for it, but I can't seem to get paid for it. But as we go through our lives, we go to work because we want to receive a wage. And as I wrote a definition better than Webster's this morning. I just want y'all to know that. A wage is something that is earned, something that is deserved, something that is promised in payment thereof. As we look this morning, and God tells us in His Word, He said, for the wages of sin is death. Again, I don't have to tell you what sin is. You know what sin is. You don't have to tell me what I should do and what I shouldn't do, because if it's not written here in this book, then I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me that guides me and directs me and leads me, and He will let me know what I should be doing and what I should not be doing. But as I get into that place to where sin comes into my life, preacher, sin don't come into my life. Well, let's cover a few more scriptures while we're going right here. Isaiah chapter number 64, verse number 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. As you look at that verse of scripture, when you say the word all, that's kind of all inclusive, isn't it? I mean, that's everybody. He says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. The very best that you can do, if you did everything that you thought was absolutely right, the Bible tells me that that righteousness, that good work is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And I won't go into describing what those filthy rags are right here in the scripture, but sometime go and study that. That's not just like an old mechanic's rag that's laying around the shop. You go look that up and see what that filthy rag is, and it is an awful, nasty thing. And as you look at that, the Bible tells us that the very best that you can do, your righteousness, your very best that you can do is as filthy rags in the sight of God. So let's look at Romans chapter number 3, verse number 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I know this is making y'all just want to shout amen and run circles this morning. It is me too. For God to look at me, because you know what? Down deep, we all want to think that we are good people, that we have good morals and we have good ethics and we are just all together. We're really good people. But the Bible tells me, first of all, in Isaiah, that my righteousness is filthy rags. And then he tells me in Romans chapter number 3 that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So then in Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As you get down, that kind of summarizes it all up. So as we look over in Romans chapter number 6, and says, for the wages of sin is death, and you want to look and say, well, I'm glad that I don't have sin. Well, I want to just back up for a minute on the authority of God's word. Let us all know that we are all sinners, that we all fall, that we all come short, that none of us is perfect, and that our very best that we can possibly do in our own strength and in our own will is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Now that you're feeling really good about yourself, let's just worship the Lord this morning. But no, as I look into my life and I know that sin enters in, and I know that the very best that I can do is as filthy rags in the sight of God, then I look and say, well, you know what that means? That means that I am now in deserving. I am now earning a payment for that sin. And the Bible tells me that my payment and what I deserve and what I have earned because I have sin in my life, the Bible tells me for the wages or what you have earned is death. What you are worthy of this morning and what I am worthy of this morning and what I have earned and what I deserve is death. And it's not just a physical death, but it's a spiritual death. It is that second death of going into hell. This morning as we look and we see exactly what we're made of, and we see exactly what's going on in our lives, and we know how that sin can come into our lives, we know that we have earned death, that we deserve death, and that my promised payment for my sin is death. Now we know that Adam and Eve, they didn't fall over physically dead that day, but they spiritually died that day. And that there had to be a sacrifice of that animal to cover their sins. And you and I know that if we can believe God's word whatsoever, and Lynn's been teaching on the truth for the last several weeks in our Sunday school class, and if you have any problem believing any part of this book right here, then you don't believe the truth, the whole word, the whole counsel of God. And the Bible tells me that I am a sinner, that I fall, that I come short. And that is not a place for me to use that as an excuse in my life to come short and to fall. But that is to me to come to the realization that I deserve death, that I have earned death, and my payment for what I have done in this life, my payment should be death. But now let's go to the end of Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's what I've earned. That's what my payment should be. That's what I deserve. But I'm so thankful for this next three-letter word that comes in Romans chapter number 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but, you know, you're going to get all of a sudden, when you see that word, you see that everything's getting ready to switch. It's kind of like when I take my ball teams out there and I say, y'all played really good today, but they know they're fixing to get the bad part of the day. But I want you to say right here that God gave us the bad part. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad this morning that I'm not going to get the payment that I deserve. I'm not going to get the payment that I have earned. I'm not going to get what I have worked for and what I deserve here in this life. But because of the gift of God, because of the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so thankful that I'm not going to get what I deserve, what I have earned, or what my promised payment should be. I'm so thankful this morning as I look at my life and I know the sin that comes into my life. I know the things that I have done wrong. I know that even though that I got saved at the age of 7, that there was a space in my life that I turned away from God and I wasn't seeking God and I wasn't trying to draw closer to God, but I was actually moving away from God and I was doing what fulfilled this flesh and I was looking at the things in this world that I thought made me happy, and the only thing it was doing is satisfying this flesh. And because of those things, the payment that I deserve, the things that I have earned, what I should get is death, but I'm so thankful for a gift that I don't deserve. I'm so thankful for a gift that I haven't earned. I'm so thankful for a gift that I don't deserve the payment of, and that gift was Jesus Christ giving his life for me on a cross. I'm so thankful that even though sin entered into this world by one man, Adam, you know, before Adam and Eve sinned, there was no sin on this earth, and that one man sinned. The Bible tells us that because of that one man that sinned, he brought death unto all. But I'm so thankful that there was a second Adam, Jesus Christ, who came into this world that was willing to give his life, that was willing to take my sin. He took my payment to the cross. I'm glad that he took my sin and that he was nailed there to a cross and that he gave his life and that he shed his blood so that I didn't get what I deserved, but that I could have the free gift. Amen. I'm so thankful that he took what I deserve. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 15. I want to read this to you. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. I want you to notice how many times in this scripture that the word gift is used. Because a gift is not something that you've deserved or that you've earned or that somebody owes you. It's just something that somebody said, here, I want to give this to you. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. That was the first Adam. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse number 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one unto condemnation. Adam gave us all condemnation through the sin that he had there in the garden. But again, the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse number 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we look at these verses this morning, I want to show you something. Let me put this in hillbilly land. Let's go to verse number 19. Let's read verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, as we look at this and you say, well, I seen gift three or four times, and I seen if by one man this, and I seen if one by a man, that I don't know, I don't understand all that. Well, let me put it into just hillbilly language this morning. One man, Adam, brought sin into the world. One man, Jesus Christ, brought a gift of salvation into the world. Let me break it down a little more personal. When I was born into this world, the day that I become of the age of accountability and I knew that sin was in my life, I knew that I had done wrong, and I knew that I needed forgiveness of that sin. The day that that happened, I was condemned. Because of Adam and because of that sin, I was condemned. I now was standing in a debt, and I needed a payment. I had to make a payment of death of my life. That's what I had earned, and that's what I deserved. But I'm so thankful that at the age of 7, that one day that I realized that Jesus Christ came and he took my sin that I had done that was all mine. I mean, there was nobody else that had committed that sin. It was my sin. And he took that sin upon himself. And he said, you know what? I'm willing to take that sin. And I'm willing just for Josh. I'm willing just for Kelly. I'm willing just for Shane. I'm willing just for each and every one of you. I'm willing to take your sin and I'm going to put it on myself. And I'm going to carry your cross. I'm going to make your payment. I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to take what you've earned, and I'm going to take what you deserve, and I'm going to take it on myself, and I'm going to go to a cross, and I'm going to let them do some awful, horrible things to me. I'm even going to take on the sin of the whole world so that my Heavenly Father looks at me and has to turn his back on me because he sees all of the sin, and I'm willing to take all of that on myself, and I'm going to give my life. I'm going to experience death, Shane, so that you don't ever have to. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go through that death. I'm going to take what you deserve. I'm going to take what you have earned, and I'm going to experience it so that you don't ever have to. And I'm so thankful that one night when I was 7 years old, it was so simple as this. I didn't have to go through no ritual. I didn't have to do no super spiritual dance there in the house. I didn't have to do 3 backflips. I didn't have to give money to the church. I didn't even have to be baptized. But one night when I was 7 years old, I got down on my knees in my living room right beside of an old blue Lazy Boy recliner, and I said, Jesus, I know that I have sinned. Please forgive me of my sin and be Lord of my life. And just like that, death left me. No longer was I going to have to pay that payment. No longer was I going to get what I had earned or what I deserved. But now I'm going to get the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He took on my sin and put it on the cross. Now listen, if I had died, if that death come to me, there's no way in the world I could be victorious. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ, he died on that cross. And just as we preached a few weeks ago, when he said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, he died. He was not asleep. He was not pretending. He was dead. He experienced death for you and I. But then they took him and they put him in that tomb. And I want you to know something. Even though there's no possible way that within myself that I could be victorious over death, there is no way that I can overcome death, that while Jesus Christ was there in that grave, that he overcame death, hell, and the grave, and he arose victorious the third day. And because of that, we have a free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. It is not because of anything that you do or anything that we give or anything that we experience in this life. It is only through and by Jesus Christ. I'm glad that death couldn't hold him. See, death would have held little old Josh Seacrest. But death couldn't hold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. On that third day, I believe that that stone began to rumble. I believe that those soldiers were going, "What in the world?" And the Bible tells us that they fell as dead men. I want you to know that when those women come to the tomb that morning, hey, this is not just the Easter sermon. Let's go ahead and get at some of it right here. That when they come to the tomb that Easter Sunday morning, and when we celebrate it, they come out there, and there they set an angel and says, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ is not dead. He overcame death for you and I, and because of that, we have the gift of eternal life. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." This morning, I'm glad that I'm not going to get what I deserve. Hannah, will you come get us an invitation? I'm going to tell you what I want you to sing this morning. Why don't you sing "Just As I Am"? I want us to look in our lives. And every single one of us, hey, you may look and say, "Well, I'm a pretty good old boy," or "I'm a pretty good lady," "I'm a pretty good woman," whatever. And you may look and think, just remember, the Bible tells us that is as filthy, that your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But as we look at our lives this morning, maybe you're just like me, and when God began to, this verse was on my mind last night coming back from a softball tournament. I got to coming up a road. "For the wages of sin is death." That's what I deserve. If God paid me what I deserve, that's what I would get. I would get death, a death in hell. But he said, "I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you a gift." And maybe you're like me this morning. I about had me a shouting fit coming up a road. Maggie probably didn't have a clue, but on the inside, I was about to come apart sitting over in the car. And as I was studying this morning, man, why would God look at me and say, "Hey, I want to give you a gift"? Let me tell you why. Because he loves us. It's a love that we can't understand. It's a love we can't comprehend. Hey, but God loved us so much that he said, "I'm going to make a way that you can have a gift. I'm not going to give you what you deserve." And you might be like me, and I just had to stop and say, "God, I want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to glorify you for loving me before I ever loved you. God, I just want to thank you that I'm not going to get what I deserve. I'm not going to get what I've earned. I'm not going to get what my payment should be, but I'm getting a gift." Maybe you just want to worship him for it this morning. Maybe we took it for granted like I did. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost without Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, this is not pretty, and I don't know how to say it, where it will be pretty, but you're going to experience death. For the believers in this congregation this morning that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, you will never experience death. And you say, "Well, preacher, I don't know. I've seen Christians die." No, you didn't. You've seen their flesh give up, and you've seen them roll them in front of a church or in front of Moody's or whatever, but you didn't see them die. Their soul is present. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. You've never seen a believer die. But if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to experience death. That's what you've earned. That's what you deserved. That is the payment that my Bible promises for sin. "Well, preacher, I don't like it." Well, good. I don't want you to like it. I want you to look and see the free gift that God's wanting to give you this morning. So simple. Don't make it hard. Don't make it to where you can go, "Well, what about this and what about..." Don't "what about" nothing. The only thing you need to what about is to know that Jesus Christ gave his life for you, and he is willing to forgive you of your sins and to be Lord of your life. And it's so simple that me as a 7-year-old boy, and I've seen them as young as 5 and 4
come and say, I know that Jesus Christ gave his life for me, and I want to accept what he did on the cross. It's that simple. Don't make it hard. Accept this free gift. Don't take the payment. You won't like it. You won't like the payment. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Preacher, I'm here. I know that I'm saved. I know without a doubt in my heart because I remember accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I just want to glorify him. I just want to worship him. Would you slip up your hand? Yes, amen. All over the church. Put it right back down. Preacher, I'm here this morning. And I can't say that I've ever accepted Christ. Preacher, I may still be in danger of getting what I earned, of getting what I deserve. But I don't want that. I want the gift. God's speaking to my heart, and I know that I need to be saved. I don't know if I can come today or not. I don't know if I can get the courage to walk up, but I know that I'm lost. Preacher, would you just pray for me that I will get saved? Just pray for me that God will continue to deal with me. Would you just slip up your hand anywhere in the church? Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do for us. God, I'm so undeserving of the gift, but I'm so thankful that I'm not going to get what I deserve. God, I'm so thankful that you love me so much that you gave Jesus Christ for me. And God, as they're going to sing Just As I Am here in just a minute, I'm glad that you took me just as I was, and then you made me a child of the King. God, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for that. God, I pray, dear Father, if there's one here today that maybe couldn't even find the courage to lift their hand to say that they were lost, God, I pray that you'll continue to work on their heart, God. I pray that you'll soften them. And God, I pray, dear Father, that whatever it is that's holding them back, God, that you'll show them that it's not worth getting the payment that we deserve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, if God's speaking to your heart, if you need to come pray and worship him, if you just need to come and pray for somebody that you know is lost, this altar is open. I believe that's been sufficient this morning. I'm just going to tell you, if you'll get alone sometime this week and just get to thinking about the payment that you deserve and the gift that you were going to be given, or that the gift you are given, it already exists. I promise you that if you're having a bad day, it'll help you through a bad day. If you're having a good day, people might think you're weird because you're going to get loose. Thank you for being here with us again this morning.